Bailey, I'm ready whenever you are.
I'm not ready, but here we go.
Hello, and welcome to Season 2 of Local Listens, available on Spotify, Pocket Casts, Anchor, and our YouTube channel. We bring you this episode earlier than we planned our second season to be, to show support of Doom Scroll's new album released yesterday. We got to sit down with the band and talk about the making of the album, playing their first show together as a band, how the band was pieced together, and so much more. We talk about the recording process, upcoming shows and hope for future touring, hints at the next album already, and the members tell crazy stories of experiences like getting bitten by a boar after a show, and the craziness of Skatetopia. As always, if other bands are mentioned throughout the episode, you can find links to them in the episode description.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to our Season 2 premiere of Local Listens. I am Bailey of Bailey Ukulele.
And I'm Shane of Sanatorium Hill. And for this week's episode, we have...
Doom Scroll!
So there's five of us. My name is Riz, and I use they-them pronouns. I play percussion in Doom Scroll.
Hello. My name's Smelly. I use he, him pronouns, and I play mandolin in Doom Scroll.
I'm Taylor, and I play washboard, and I use she, her pronouns.
Hi, I'm Micah. I use they, them pronouns, and I play bass in Doom Scroll.
I'm P. I use he, him pronouns, and I play guitar.
Not in Doom Scroll.
Just in general. Well, awesome. You have two singles out at this point and have been hinting at a music video. Is that what's going on?
Yeah, we have a ridiculous amount of music videos coming out that we're still editing. It's taking a really long time. And then we just filmed a second one yesterday, and then we're filming another one this weekend.
Wow.
We've been very busy.
Well, I guess now that, like, I can't really say COVID's over, but at least, like, vaccinations have made it more tolerable, it's a good time to just get together and make some music and scream at people.
Yes.
So. Yeah, we're definitely feeling hopeful about, I mean, it was crazy just to like get together and play music after like a year and a half of not hanging out with anyone. So
so good.
Oh yeah,
it's been nice, thus us doing like a bunch of shit in a short period of time.
And you all played a show already as Doom Scroll, right?
Yeah, we played one show in Boulder, like just a backyard show, and you know, people were mad pumped because obviously no one has done anything in a very long time. So fun.
Yeah, and then, you know, nothing going on for like a year and a half, and then the super group comes out of nowhere.
Right.
We got members of We the Heathens and Smelly. You're in Atrocity Solution as well, right?
Yeah.
All right. And then we got members of Broken Bow and Chatterbox and, Chatterbox and the Latter-day Satanists. What, Chad Hates George?
P plays in a couple of bands. Yeah, P plays in a band called Dead Work that actually released a single today just out of nowhere, and he didn't even tell us.
Yeah, it ripped so hard.
Yeah, I was looking at, on your Bandcamp because I was like, all right, I need like a list of people, and I just saw P. Who is P?
Most of P.
It's funny because P has been like putting out music for a really long time and actually like has a lot of European fans, but like literally no one knows like what P looks like or where P lives.
Okay.
Yeah, elusive.
He's also recorded a lot of music for people in the scene, like recorded a couple of She, Her, Hers albums and just like produced and recorded core tracks for the new Chatterbox album that came out last year. And like, it's just a hidden gem that more people should know about.
Yeah. Dead
work. We're just pumping P up right now.
Yeah. Oh, that is awesome. So we have the interview with Doom Scroll and P. Gotcha. When that first single dropped, that
When Will I Disappear was the first one, I believe.
Yes. When that one dropped, the first thing, like right when it started playing, I was like, yeah, I can, you know, you can hear that We the Heathens. Just like the mandolin is just like, yep, there it is.
Yeah. I just remember I was listening, and right when it was over, I like called up my friend Al, and I was like, dude, you gotta hear this thing. And like, I was like, he was like, yeah, I'll totally check it out. And then I just listened to it on repeat for like probably like a week straight. I was like, I just gotta keep hearing this song.
Oh, hell yeah, I'm glad you like it.
And then, of course, the silver lining with guest vocals from Jesse. So
you happen to be living in the same house. We're putting all of these vocals down, so it made it a little easier.
Got to get the family involved, you know?
Yeah.
So the album drops on the 23rd, right?
Yep.
July 23rd. How long did this whole idea for this album actually, like, kind of sit? Was it just like, oh, we should make an album, and like instant thing, or did you think about it for a while, or what's the process of this album?
It was just like, so We the Heathens went electric, and I wanted to continue the acoustic sound a little bit, so I decided to just try and write some acoustic songs, and I wanted to record a couple acoustic songs, and it just kind of snowballed, and that all started like last year. I think it was June of last year that I started writing songs for this. And then we finished recording, I think it was like February.
It's also important to note that like all of the instrumentation on the record is just Elliot and Taylor, and that like we joined the band after the recordings were like already laid down. So me, P, and Micah really only have vocals on those recordings.
Yeah. Also, yeah. Pandemic.
Yeah. I mean, when I went down to Texas to help record the Escape from the Zoo record, and not even all of Escape from the Zoo could be there. So I had to like play multiple instruments just to like finish the record, because we couldn't do it all together at the time, you know? So it was, yeah, the pandemic really put threw a wrench in recording in general.
Wow. Yeah. The last year and a half, it just sucked. It just sucked. Yeah. Like 2020 didn't actually exist. And then now we're here, you know.
It felt like a really long time, and also like no time at all.
Yeah.
2020 was just like, I'm going to pack like 10 years in 1 year.
Which was weird on the, like building up to 2020. I was expecting to be like a big year of something. And it was.
It's all Elliot's fault.
Something horrible.
Yeah.
Elliot jinxed us all.
Like I'm a monster.
When do you guys plan on dropping the next single off of this?
We're dropping it on the 16th.
Yeah. So just to let you guys know, that's my birthday, and I'm so excited for that.
Happy almost birthday.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, no, that's going to be cool. Oh, my work is going to hate me because I'm going to blast that shit.
Happy birthday, Doom Scroll.
Hell yeah.
Collectively, individually, how long have each of you actually been playing music?
Collectively, oh, 100 years.
Yeah, I said collectively, and I'm like, that's going to be a long time.
Probably like at least 5,000 years. I think I've been playing music, let's see, I'm almost 28. I started playing music when I was 14, so I've been playing music for like 14 years. What about you guys? Everyone's counting on their fingers right now.
You're all
I started
good
playing music when I was 13, and I'm 23 now, so 20 years.
23? Yeah.
You're 23?
33,
sorry.
33.
For 20 years.
I was
going to
say,
I wish
whoa.
I was 23. Fuck, I wish I was 23.
No, you don't.
Yeah, I've been playing also since I was 13, and I'm 29, so 16 years.
I've been playing since I was 12, and I'm 31, so 19 years.
Wow.
I've been playing since I was like 7 or 8, because I got stuck in piano lessons. So...
What's that? Wow.
Something
20 years?
20 years.
Mm-hmm. So 100 years.
Yeah. On it. Probably about 100.
I remember that first video that Smelliot posted it. It was like a teaser of like upcoming stuff. And it was him and Taylor. Taylor was just like rocking out on the washboard. And I remember watching that video and I was just like, how the fuck do your hands move that fast?
You gotta keep up with Elliot. That's how.
Yeah.
There's no other way.
No options.
As fast as you can.
Sometimes lots of arm cramps.
Carpal tunnel when I'm now.
Now.
When Taylor starts scrubbing, her hand disappears.
When will Taylor's hand disappear?
Like, I've tried to learn When It's Gone by We the Heathens, because, like, I grew up in Wisconsin. I'm like, okay, I know some of these places they're talking about. This is cool. Yeah. I'm going to learn this song. And that's ridiculous. Like, I'm like, okay, I got the chords, I think. I'm like, all right, I'm like, cool. I'm going to play it at half speed.
Yeah. I mean, when I was growing up, it was basically you learn how to play something and then you learn how to play it faster. Be the fastest. That was my community. It's just the punk scene was who can play the fastest.
Sounds about right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm used to practicing it at a certain speed, and then when you perform, that's when you figure out how fast you can play it, because you're always going to play it, like, at least some percent faster.
Oh yeah, like, our first show, in Boulder, you know, we had only practiced together for 2 days before the show, because Micah and I drove up from Texas, and we were all so nervous about the show. Well, first of all, it's the first show in like a year and a half, and we've barely played together, that it was just stupid, like, so fast.
I couldn't even keep up. There was no hope. We like doubled it. It wasn't even like just slightly faster. It was like we went from like a decent tempo to just like,
it was preposterous.
Math rock.
Yeah.
We didn't realize it was happening until after we watched the video and we were like, oh my God.
Our songs are like 30 seconds long.
I swear we all play faster nowadays. It's like you get up there, you play your set, and then you're like, wow, I'm already done. It was only 15 minutes. Fuck. 45.
What happened?
I've seen Bailey, like, cover Kimya Dawson songs in, like, a minute and a half.
Sounds about right.
I'm just like, okay, how were those words? Are you sure those were words?
Like, I did a live stream, like, beginning of this year. Shane was also on the same live stream. And so I'm playing my set, and I get to my Kimya Dawson song, which is Loose Lips. And I think I went through that song in, like, 45 seconds. And Shane's like, what did you say?
It made no sense.
In the moment.
Exactly.
So was everything recorded and then you reached out to everyone else to be like, hey, do you want to be a part of this? Or did you like record this album with everybody in mind?
No, I recorded it. Well, Taylor and I recorded it and then we were like, let's build a band. Build a band. Yeah. And everything was fluctuating while I was recording all the instrumentation, going back and forth, like, should it just be cello and not bass, or should it just be this and that? And then it just kind of fell into place as we were, like, finding people. So it was just, you know, the sound was dictated by, you know, Riz, P, and Micah, so.
All right. And did you reach out to everybody like you were like assembling the Avengers or something? Just like, I'm getting a gang together. I need you.
Actually, I think I was the first person to join the band because Elliot was down in Houston recording that Escape from the Zoo album that he was talking about. And I sung on one of the songs and I was like, oh, this is really cool. Like, our voices sound good together. And then I heard about the Doom Scroll stuff and I heard some of the songs and I was like, this shit rips. And I messaged Elliot and I was like, hey, are you looking for like band members for your band? And Elliot's like, yeah, I mean, I guess. I think I was originally going to play bass, but then I was like, I don't know if I can play bass like that. Eventually, we ended up getting Micah to play bass, and then
He was going to play bass first.
Oh, yeah. And then we were trying to get John Chickie from Rent Strike to play guitar, but then we just didn't. I think we were like, oh, they're really far away.
And busy.
And yeah. Busy, apparently.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And plus, he's way cooler.
That will forever be on the internet.
Keeping that in.
I love you, John.
We love you, John.
Because he's in my band.
I think I was kind of like just I was the only other person in Colorado.
No, whatever.
No.
I mean, like, it really was. Like, I was like, no. We started hanging out, and Ellie was like, you want to play bass? And I was like, yeah, I could do that. And then, so Riz was like, I don't think I could play bass. So then I got asked to play bass. But then we couldn't get anyone nailed down for guitar. So then Elliot was like, can you play these guitar parts? And I was like, I guess I'll try.
And so I switched to guitar, and then they were like, okay, well, now we need bass. And Mike stepped up and just ripped it. So it all kind of just fell together.
Right on. I can't imagine how stressful recording some of these songs, like especially the two that have already came out. I recorded my own album like all through last year. And one of the things that actually like kept pushing me to record like the Sanatorium Hill album was Micah was posting about recording the Chatterbox albums. So I was just like reaching out like, so how's your process going?
I mean, it's fun, but it's like always stressful. You gotta get it just right.
There was a point while recording the album that I quit like a whole month where I didn't pick up my guitar. And then after that, I was like, all right, I have to try. And I have to finish it. Yeah, glad I did.
It's amazing because like even from like the two songs, like there's already like lyrically you can tell that there's like a bunch of emotions and stuff going on. But there's so much that like gets edited out, or there's so much that like doesn't get recorded or something like that. So you're just like, all right, if there's that much like put into this, what else was going on?
Yeah, I guess nobody really thinks about that.
Yeah. You got to put out like a deluxe version and like
a bunch of like 10-second voice memos.
Yeah.
Oh yeah, there's while Taylor was recording vocals, I was going to compile all of her vocals that she messed up, cuz every time she messed up, she said something ridiculous.
I'm really good at that. It's just like miss the key and then you're like, ah, poopy boy bands at the end. Like, I don't know. You just say something really dumb. Like, yeah.
Yeah, it was phenomenal.
Yeah, I just trying to save it.
Deluxe version. There you go.
So how are you guys planning on like any future tours or shows like that? Or are you all like kind of staying in one area until you can figure that out?
So everyone is living in Colorado these days, except for me. I'm gonna be flying back to Houston, actually, weirdly enough, the day that our album comes out. But I'm basically gonna fly up and do whatever I need to do whenever I need to do it. But as far as shows go, we have Moonrunners planned in October. We're playing that, and we're playing two shows with Days and Days in Chicago on the 7th and 8th of October. And then we're starting to like slowly plan like a small 2-week November tour for like middle to late November, probably like the Pacific Northwest area and a little bit of Oregon and California. But we don't have like any solid dates or cities yet, but we're just now being like, oh, you know, I didn't know touring was gonna come back so quick. Maybe we should start like planning this shit out.
Which is another stressful part of the process.
Yeah, right? It's just all stress.
I also didn't want to be a part of the wave. Like, I'm glad everyone's coming back and touring everything, but like everyone is planning a tour right now. So I thought, I was like, maybe we should go during a month that people wouldn't typically tour and is not terrible. Because that, I mean, everyone is jumping on the tour. What? Because everyone's eager to get back out, you know?
So many fall tour announcements.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And Bailey, yeah, do you have any tours you are going to be planning soon?
I wish, man. I want to. I'm wanting to go on tour since I started picking up the ukulele. I'm in. Let's go. Where are we going? Europe? Downtown? Tacoma? I'm down. Let's go. Let's book a tour. Let's leave. I mean, I'm excited. When you guys come and do your tour or whatever you guys are planning, I can't speak for Shane, but I think both of us are probably going to be at the show.
Oh,
I'm like,
yeah.
Hell yeah.
Yeah. Where are y'all located?
So out in Washington.
On our list.
Yeah, that's definitely the plan.
Y'all are running this gravel pit, right?
Yeah. So if you want to have a show and have like chickens and stuff running around, we could totally do that.
Yeah, we'll definitely keep in touch with you about it when we start laying our dates down. Hopefully we live up to the expectation that you have.
Well, so far, it totally has. I'm super excited to hear the full album and
it's gonna be so good.
Yeah, see what comes from everything, because it's the perfect time. Everybody's getting super excited. And you got 5 people just like putting out hints of what's going on. So people are either figuring it out or really, really confused.
That was definitely our marketing standpoint for like the slow burn, you know, we just like hinting at things, or we'll give like, you can have this song as a treat.
until they're like, when's the album coming out?
They start like throwing things. The album needs to come out now.
I've had a few messages like that.
It's true. And even after the album comes out, for everybody listening, the next album is like already written. So.
Whoa.
Oh, wow.
We just have to record it.
Sounds so amazing. You want to say it like that?
Yeah, just have to record it.
Make it sound like a piece of cake. It's already ready to go.
Oh, yeah. It's nothing.
One thing I did want to ask is, I wouldn't say collectively, but you guys have only done the one show, so I guess it wouldn't really work that way. But I guess individually, what you guys, do you guys have any like crazy show stories?
Oh, man. Is
that crazy?
There's a lot of them.
Yeah, I could write a whole fucking novel, honestly.
I was going to say, this episode made me longer than I should.
You started that question, and I'm just like sitting back like, okay, here we go.
Oh, here's a good one that I always tell. I got bit by a drunk pig in Reno once at a show, or I guess it was an after part of a show. These people had a pig, or he was more like a boar with his teeth filed down, and he was like these people's pet. And we were like hanging out there, drinking beers, and apparently this pig, or boar, his name was War Pig, and he just... You know, they tried to warn us all night, like, don't put your beers on the ground because War Pig will knock them over and drink them. And, you know, everyone was, like, all drunk. So, of course, they were putting their beer down. And War Pig probably drank, like, 18 beers. And it was just the weirdest thing. And then the next morning, what tour was this? Was it Chatterbox?
It was a Chatterbox tour. It was. I remember because the pig bit John, and they were like, "Ow, damn!" And then Riz was like, "That pig just doesn't like you," and then tried to like chase the pig. And then the pig bit Riz.
John was like, "You dummy." And then this morning, John like was prowling around this house and like smelled coffee being made and like poured himself a cup. And then the drunk pig just came up and knocked his coffee over and drank all his coffee because drunk pig was like hungover too, probably.
Which is wild. You know, I wouldn't, normally it wouldn't be good. That pig was like,
yeah, definitely,
on a mission.
I definitely don't condone that behavior. Also, I'm just saying pigs are tanks. Like this pig, like,
yeah.
They said if you leave your cigarettes out, he'll eat a pack of cigarettes in like 10 seconds. Like pigs are wild. I mean, yeah, pigs are crazy.
Wow.
I don't know why that's always the first story that I think of is just this.
It would be my first story I thought of.
I know there's like a ton more, but that's always what comes to
you
my
want
mind.
The extensive list, you can see Doomscroll's new book that's coming out.
Yeah, we should just write a collective book of stories.
Story. You really should.
A little zine, and you can like sell it as merch.
Gotta say, that might be the craziest story we've heard on this podcast.
I mean, we're trying to think of any that are appropriate to even tell.
Have y'all ever been to Skatopia? Have you heard of Skatopia?
Was it 88 Acres of Anarchy?
Yeah, it's in Ohio, in the middle of nowhere, and it's basically just, it's a skate fest first and foremost, but they basically have bands all weekend and you do whatever the fuck you want. Just like, for example, one morning I was woken up by, there's this dirt track. And I, for some stupid reason, fell asleep next to the dirt track. And there, when I woke up, there was a limousine that the top was ripped off. And the guy was going as fast as he can around the track, just shooting flamethrowers.
What?
And just screaming. And it was just right next to my face. That was fantastic. I got my cymbals. My cymbals were, I played there with Atrocity Solution one time. And my cymbals were stolen. Right next to me, like I was unloading my drum set, and they were just then they were gone. And then the next morning, some guy comes up to me and he's like super hungover. He's like, "Are these yours?" And he hands me my cymbals back, and he's like, "I fell asleep on them." To like make a bed, I guess.
That is so weird.
There was one time where my friends decided it'd be cool to like hold a fight club
karate competition at the top of the hill, and I was the main event, and it said Elliot versus Black Belt at sundown, so I didn't know who Black Belt was, so I was just ready to fight some dude or somebody, some Black Belt person.
Is this
sundown.
Still at Skatopia?
This is at Skatopia. This is multiple years at Skatopia. Just they like light a whole bunch of cars on fire. It, basically, you mess with anyone there, they will set your car on fire, and it's just chaos. The last time I was there, it was with We the Heathens and Escape from the Zoo, and we got there late. They changed the way they set up shows, and it was basically first come, first serve. So we got there the latest, and we were last on the list, which meant we were playing at midnight, but, I mean, it's a punk show. So midnight, punk time, and a fest on top of that. We were supposed to go on at 4 a.m., and Escape from the Zoo, they, like, came in our van and, like, woke us up, and they're like, hey, you guys are supposed to go on now. And we're like, fuck that. So they ended up just going on as the sun was rising, and apparently it was a fun time, but I was just, and then the next morning our van got stuck in the mud. Like, people light fireworks off in front of you while you're playing. Like, there was somebody put ether up to all of our faces while we were trying to play.
Oh my,
crazy. This is also, like, you know, 10 years ago.
Yeah, the only time I've been to Skatopia, I was 16 and they were filming MTV's True Life.
Yeah.
I went to Skatopia.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
We were probably the same time.
I remember that. Somebody's car got stuck right when they came in, and like a whole bunch of people had to like jump on it to get it back upright.
And we were probably there at the same time.
Wow.
I was just a baby.
Yeah.
And Shane, you thought our local punk festival was...
Yeah, I thought, like...
Ours look like babies.
That just puts, like, punks in the woods to shame. Like, holy crap.
Damn, that makes that one look like a kiddie festival.
Yeah, the worst thing that's happened at, like, punks in the woods is, like, a dude set up a drum set, like, 20 feet away from my tent and played at, like, 3 in the morning one year. And I was just like, what the fuck, dude?
You're just like, dude, go to sleep.
Yeah, he was just like... fucking like strung out on something, couldn't sleep, so he set up his drum set, and I was like, all right, I guess I'm awake now. Yeah, like,
I want to go to Skatopia, but I'm also very terrified.
Oh yeah,
like,
oh, yeah.
I wouldn't recommend it. Personally, I've just had motorcyclists burn out in front of us when we were playing. That was probably the most ridiculous thing I think I've played too. We didn't have a show in Florida, and so we
walked. Of course
it was Florida. We walked around in Florida to random bars, and we were seeing if there was, like, an open mic or something, and we were like, yeah, you can just play out front, and it was, like, a biker bar, like, grungy biker bar, so we were like, okay, and they were throwing dollar bills at us, and...
That's Florida.
I mean, for not having a show, it was a show.
So is it safe to assume then that Doom Scroll will not be playing Skatopia?
Oh, I'm sure we would if we were given the option.
I don't want to, but I will.
Right.
We gotta
it's
go
not
to...
on the list, but, you know.
Wow.
It could be good. It could be good. It's pretty bad, you know?
Pretty quiet over there.
I don't have any crazy stories.
Write a zine of... tour stories. Yeah, I played at a nudist place, but it was just the person that lived there was nude with their parrot in a bun. Ew! That was another wild time.
Dreams.
There's like hundreds of people there, and just the owner of the property stayed nude. I get it? Fine. It was just wild. The parrot just added to it. Memorable.
There's one time, We the Heathen went to Croatia, and this is the entire night we were buddied up with this guy who we were going to sleep with, and he kept just subtly making like American movie reference. Like his English wasn't so good, but he just kept like hinting, like, you know, like Terminator and like all these like American movies. And then like when we finally get back to the sleeping spot, like right before we're about to like go to sleep and he's like leaving, he just like sat up and like sang the Star Spangled Banner to us. I was like, hey, oh man, I loved it. He was so nice.
Did you clap?
Yeah, we clapped, of course. It was amazing. And then he left, and I never saw him again.
Wow.
What the hell?
It's weird.
He was, like, all, like, you know, like, red, white, and blue get up, too. Like, a jumpsuit that was red, white, and blue.
What a strange guy. Didn't he buy you cheese? Was there something Wisconsin?
Yeah, he, like, knew all of our back.
So he was stalking you.
Yeah. He, like, knew, like, Adam's grandfather used to be a farmer somehow.
Hopefully they're not listening right now.
Oh, no, no. I mean, like, hey, if you're listening, Ducky Boots, hey, how's it going?
Memorable time in Croatia.
Right.
His name was Ducky Boots?
There was some inner joke between us about Ducky Boots. That was the only thing I remember about him.
Weird.
What the?
Some people come into your life and sing Star Spangled.
And we opened up a can of worms.
Yeah.
Fuck.
You guys have any like last minute like things you want to say before we round this all up or anything? Or
that our full band name is Doom Scroll, in case you missed it the many times we said that. Our full album comes out on July 23rd, and you can listen on Spotify and a bunch of other places, and then also on our Bandcamp, which is doomscrollband.bandcamp.com.
Yeah, and it's digital only at first, but we're gonna have physical copies in the next few months after we get some funds from this.
That cash monies.
Yeah.
Oh yeah. Awesome.
There you go.
Yeah.
Doom Scroll.
Doom Scroll.
Follow us on all the things, you know. TikTok.
Yeah. Facebook, Instagram.
Here is the title track for the new album entitled Immoral Compass. We want to thank the band for taking the time to talk with us and being a part of this episode. We also want to thank you for listening and supporting Local Listens. Season 2 will continue August 1st with Nicole of Death Metal Mama, a huge supporter of the music scene out here in Washington, and we will talk about what is coming up locally and dreams of the future. Thank you so much for tuning into this week's episode of Local Listens, and have a great and music-filled week.
Solve the world, rip off the bandages, barricaded in the confines of this tomb. A total relentless eradication of our human empathy. Heard the laughing stock into their grieving heads. No loss at all until the gun is turned in their own face. Will we ever be free from the ridicule of man? A joke that we can't stand. Your moral compass points to true decay. An impervious curse that's armed with disarray.
Turn up.